Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Welcome to the Kentucky Racing Spotlight with Louis Ribot, presented by the Kentucky HBPA. Now here's Louis Ribot.
All right, let's get it going. This is this week's edition, March 15th edition of the Kentucky Racing Spotlight with Louis Ribot. I'm Louis Ribot here on ESPN 680-1057. We are presented by the Kentucky HBPA, kyhbpa.org. Check out all of their updates, their advocacy, their membership options, all available over there with our friends at the Kentucky HBPA, kyhbpa.org. Louis Ribot hanging out with you. You can catch me 10 to noon here on ESPN 680-1057 as part of Ribot & Co. And, of course, here on the Kentucky Racing Spotlight. We also broadcast all these episodes on our podcast. The Horse Racing Happy Hour releases every Thursday night on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcast. We do a video version of it as well that you could watch on Spotify and on YouTube. All right, so let's get into it. Domestic Product wins the last 50-point race, and we get to that lull that we get to every year in the Derby Trail. Ahead of the 100-point races next week and after the last 50-point race, of course, in the Tampa Bay Derby. And we're going to say the same things about the Tampa Bay Derby that we said about many of the races to this point, is that it was slow. Fractions were not fast. I think we have to be okay with that this year. And I think it should influence how it is that we think about the setup for the Kentucky Derby. I think that if you can get a horse that's comfortable being on the lead, I think that horse becomes infinitely more interesting. And that a horse like Sierra Leone, who I think is wildly talented and is going to be a very good two-turn horse for as long as they let him run, is going to have so much work to do against no pace that they're going to have to change tactics or he just won't have a chance. So it's an interesting time because Domestic Product wins a slower race. I thought the most interesting horse there, so, you know, we did this out of the Remsen in December, especially on the happy hour. And I was more excited about the prospects of Sierra Leone than I was Doorknock. Now both of them have come back and looked awesome. So I was kind of right. I think Good Money coming out of that race is the most interesting horse. Going two turns for the first time, second race ever. And Chad Brown decides to try him in the Tampa Bay Derby. I thought he showed great promise. He was on the lead for most of the race. And I think he's the kind of horse, if he runs a really well in the bluegrass or something, could be a problem. Maybe the Lexington. I don't know where they're going to try to slot him for his next race. But knowing Chad Brown, that might be his Preakness horse. It should be a shame. I think Good Money could be the kind of horse that sets 23 and 47 type fractions and actually forces this Derby field to have some kind of pace. Not a ton, but just some, right? And because of that, I gave out my Derby top 10 on the happy hour last night. And it was an attempt, essentially, to just see where we are. But my number one right now, because I've just been so unimpressed with the preps to this point, at least stateside, is Forever Young. Won the Saudi Derby. He's going to run in the UAE Derby. He's Japanese bred and trained. And I am of the opinion that in the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years, something like that, we will get a Japanese winner of our little race across the street in the Kentucky Derby. Forever Young right now, all the Japanese connections, all those things that we associate with recent Breeders' Cup success. And certainly success on the Arabian Peninsula, both in Saudi and in UAE. So I have Forever Young on top. Timberlake in the second spot. Brad Young trainee. Brad Cox trainee. And then Sierra Leone, Doorknock, and Fierceness in the top five. Mystic Dan, number six for me. Deterministic is seven. The Deterministic I wanted to talk about because you've heard me talk a little bit too much about the Remsen from December that gave us Doorknock and gave us Sierra Leone. What if that track and how it set us up this year is actually one of the best places for horses to train on the Derby Trail? What if that's happening? Well, then Deterministic has to be interesting to people. made a move between horses, took a bunch of spray in his face during that run. Didn't seem to bother him. I love that about horses. It's why Mystic Dan is sixth. Why Deterministic 7 on my list. Deterministic, interesting one going forward. Hades, wire to wire, down a Gulfstream. Will be in the Florida Derby. Can Paco Lopez get him to do it again? We will find out. If so, in a slower Derby field, in a slower year of two-turn horses, he may be the kind of horse that stays out front. Gets out front, stays out front. Track Phantom, 9th. Catching Freedom, 10th. And my wild card is Tennessee. If you listen to this show, you know we talked to Brad Cox, trainer Brad Cox, a couple weeks ago. And I said, hey, man, I'm an observer of Brad Cox, and I think Tennessee is your Ruby horse. Is that true? And he gave that Brad Cox smiling chuckle. He said, yeah, that's my Ruby horse. We'll run him in the Ruby. Of course, a tried him at Churchill in the fall in a maiden special, came back second try at Turfway, won, goes two turns, wins again against winners for the first time. And they'll try him in the Ruby. I expect him to be a very, very big player on all of my bets when we get to Ruby Day, which, of course, is only 8 days away. How about that? Really wild to think about that, along with Louisiana Derby, of course, next week. And we'll get into all of those things as they come about. But up next is my interview with Tyler Gaffalione. And this is from earlier in the week. He had just ridden Domestic Product. He hadn't yet been named National Jockey of the Week. But a great interview. Young guy, 29 years old, really takes care of himself. A lot of good introspective stuff about his career and where he came from, how he came up in the sport, and the kind of breaks that you need to get and the kind of horses that help jockeys become great. Tyler talks about all of that. That's coming up next here on the Kentucky Racing Spotlight with Louis Rabeau. We are presented by the Kentucky HBPA.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back to the Kentucky Racing Spotlight on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Louis Rabeau.
All right, welcome back in. This is the Kentucky Racing Spotlight with Louis Rabeau. I'm Louis Rabeau here at ESPN 680. You can find us on Twitter at ESPN 680. I'm at Radio Louis, the show at KY Racing Spotlight. You can find our guest today at Tyler_Gaff on Twitter as well. His name is Tyler, and he joins us here on the Spotlight. Tyler, welcome in, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, no problem at all. Obviously, we're having in, you won a very strange edition of the Tampa Bay Derby. All of us watched the extra time and the tote issues and all those things. I know what it meant for me as a wagerer and a horse player and those sorts of things. What happens to you? What is the kind of lead up to that for Domestic Product, the horse, obviously, that you have the mount for in that race? Can you kind of just describe the moment? Who told you that there was going to be a delay? How did it all play out?
Yeah, you know, we came back from the previous race and they still hadn't hung up any time. All the riders started getting ready. They were still had the picture on the tote board and really didn't give us any answers. Maybe another 20 minutes went by and nobody had said anything. So we went up and asked what was going on. And that's when they relayed the message that the tote was down. They said, everybody kind of get ready just in case it pops back up, be ready to go. So all the riders kind of got dressed and sat outside and just kind of watched it unfold, waiting to see what happened.
Something I like to do on this show, and Tyler Gaffalione with us here on the Kentucky Racing Spotlight, is ask people if they'll take us behind the scenes a little bit. So you've already started. What happens between races? Because I have to imagine there are lots of people who watch horse racing and see y'all, you know, there's new silks, there's new whatever. What happens between a race? You get off, let's say your horse finishes third and you've got an allowance coming up in the next race. What happens for Tyler between races?
So obviously when you get off the horse, you talk to the connections, kind of describe what happened in the race. You go way out after with all your tack and your clothing. And then you head upstairs, get cleaned up and watch the replay, study the form for the next race, and get out there and go do it again.
How have you set up the replays? Is that set up for you? Does your agent help you with that? Is that something the jockey has to do themselves? Do you have an iPad full of former races? How do you set that up?
Yeah, so every racetrack, they have TVs in the jocks room. They show the replays and the races that are running. But for watching like a horse's past performances, you can either go on RTN, ExpressBet, or Equibase is always solid. But yeah, I use my iPad, my phone sometimes, really whatever is more convenient. But yeah, always watch the replays.
Yeah, right. And so Tyler Gaffalione with us. And I appreciate you taking us behind the scenes. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go to 2014. And then obviously you're the apprentice jock of the year in 2015. What do you think clicked for you other than the mounts? You know, Tyler, I get to do a general sports talk radio show here. And one of the questions we always ask coaches, what's more important, X's and O's or Jimmy's and Joe's? And every coach we've ever had, and I'm to a person, has said Jimmy's and Joe's. It's the people. And I'm sure jockeys will tell you it is the horse, right? You got to have a great horse or it doesn't matter, right?
Absolutely, man.
So in 2015, obviously you have this breakout year. You win an Eclipse Award. Like, what is that like? What happens that year for Tyler?
Everything. It was a dream come true. I'd always dreamed of being successful in this sport growing up in it. And this is all I ever wanted to do. But I never imagined getting to those kind of accolades or receiving those kind of accolades. Obviously, it's a dream, but it's a far-fetched one. But, you know, everything kind of just fell into place. I got hooked up with the right people at the right time. Started at a good point of the year. Was given some great opportunities. And I just think I was at the right place at the right time.
You know, so you win that award. And if you go to – you mentioned Equibase. If you go to your Equibase page and you go to statistics, the career arc for you is very obvious. You are currently on the rise in your career. Are you 29? Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So how long do you think you can do this? I'm always fascinated by that question. How many more years do you think you can improve on this? Because you had a $30 million type year last year. Can you improve on that this year?
That's always the goal. You know, obviously a lot of it depends on the horses we ride and the races we get the opportunities in, but we'll definitely try to make the most of those opportunities, and hopefully we can just continue to build and continue to get those opportunities.
I was there in Baltimore when you won the Preakness. If you close your eyes, can you remember making that move in the stretch?
Oh, I remember everything. The only thing I remember is the race that day. Everything else is blank, but I can still see it now. Just the way it unfolded, the way it played out, everything about it. The feeling I felt, it's pretty amazing to think back on.
He's a cool horse, and I know you agree with me. Multiple surfaces, just a really, you know, great, graded stakes winner. Outside of War of Will, though, early in your career especially, was there a horse that you feel like did more for you than you did for the horse, maybe did more for your career than you could have imagined?
There's a couple, but there was this one horse. He taught me a lot. You know, I wasn't, it was 2015, I believe. It was my first year riding, and I was terrible on the turf. I think I was like a 3% rider on the grass, and it really bothered me. Talked to everybody I could, try to get as much advice as I could, but it just wasn't clicking. And I got on this one horse named Concert Stage for Gustavo Delgado. He was a $16,000 claimer, but he was as solid as they came, and he showed up every time. I used to take him back to last. He taught me how to maneuver through traffic. I think we wound up winning like 6 races together, but he was a special horse for me early on.
You mentioned the different surfaces and being a good jock on different surfaces, and I'm sure everyone listening to this has a jockey that they love playing on, you know, a dirt sprint or a two-turn turf race, this kind of stuff. To be great at dirt and turf, especially in the United States, what did you, you know, you talk about this horse helping you be, you know, last to first kind of stuff, maneuvering in traffic. What is it about turf racing that's different, just generally speaking, that you had to learn on the turf side from the dirt side?
The turf, you just can't make any mistakes. Every inch counts. The dirt, I feel like it's it's a little more forgiving, but turf racing, it seems like the least amount of mistakes you make, the better result you get. It's just got to cut every corner. It's a little bit more of a thought process out there. And yeah.
Is there a guy riding right now that you watch in replays or you see in replays of your own races and you think, how the hell did that guy do that? Are there jockeys out there right now for you like that?
All the time, man. And it's not just one. I'm amazed by these guys. I feel so privileged to be able to ride in the against the guys that I do ride against, and just to be part of this generation. It's pretty special. It's amazing what these guys can do.
It is an incredible group of jockeys right now, and you winter every year at Gulfstream Park. So there's an Ortiz and a Lopez and a Castellano and a lot of really great riders down there. You really made your name. You cut your teeth. And I remember Tyler, and I'm going to say something, and I hope you don't take offense to it, but I remember being down there one summer when you were still riding summers at Gulfstream. And Tyler, obviously a Florida native, that makes a ton of sense. And I just remember there was a horse that was 8-1 and you were on. So it went to 6-5 immediately. And I just remember thinking, there's nothing about this horse that's 6-5. And you won the race and you cost me money and I'm not happy about it. But cutting your teeth at Gulfstream, being there for the championship meet, what has Gulfstream meant for your career?
Gulfstream's been everything to me. I consider it home. Obviously, Calder was very sentimental to me as well growing up in South Florida, but I always dreamed of riding at Gulfstream. It was, you know, the championship meet, all the riders go, all the big horses. It was the place to be. So I had an opportunity my first year. I started in September, and come December, we had an opportunity to go north to New York, and I really just didn't want to leave. I was comfortable here. I wanted to ride against these guys. I really just wanted to learn from them. I'd watched them on TV growing up for years, so I just wanted the chance to be able to compete against them a little bit. And I think it was the best decision we made as a team. I learned a lot that year, and it put us in a position come springtime when everybody left. We picked up quite a bit of business.
You mentioned your team several times in that answer. Who is your team, Tyler?
At the time, it was my agent, Walter Blum. My father, he's always a big supporter of mine. I go to him for most things. But my valet in Florida at the time, Jay Glass. I consider those guys my team. Now my agents, Matt Musiker. I still have Jay as a valet, Vinny, and numerous guys around the country. But I consider that my team.
So, Tyler, obviously you've used Gulfstream in the very best way, and not used, but, you know, it's been a launching pad for you in your career. Obviously, to great success across the street here at Churchill Downs, a lot of riding titles in order, you know, days at Keeneland. You have to have had jockey friends who looked at you and said, man, I really love going to Gulfstream in the winter, but I've decided to stay at Turfway. I've got good mounts. The purses make sense. You've watched the evolution of this Kentucky circuit. How surprising is it to you to see the last decade here in the Commonwealth?
You know, I had an opportunity maybe about 8 years ago to come to Kentucky, and it just really – the racing wasn't what it is now. I'd say in the last 6-7 years, it's really blossomed. We've gotten some tremendous raises in the purses, the quality of horses, the horsemen. Just the racing as a whole has just really stepped up, and I think we compete – at the top around the country. I mean, if you come there on a weekday, you never know who you're going to run against. A lot of young horses are coming out of Kentucky now, being competitive on the Derby Trail, the Breeders' Cup races. So it seems like a really good spot right now.
Where do you, and you know, this is one of those things where I think people look around the country and they try to predict whose circuits are going to be what and all that stuff. Do you see yourself as a Kentucky-based rider, at least, you know, the Keeneland Churchill meets that way, for the foreseeable future?
I would have to think so. We enjoy being in Kentucky. The racing's great. The horsemen are great to us. The living is second to none. It's very peaceful, relaxing, very laid-back lifestyle. But it just kind of fits with what we're looking for right now. We're able to travel when we need to. We still get to ride the top meets around the country, Keeneland, Saratoga, Gulfstream, Churchill. So really we're very comfortable. Obviously we always want to keep building and getting better, but I think Kentucky's a good spot right now.
follow up to that. So Saturday, for example, you fly to Tampa to ride the races, or maybe you drove up there. I don't know. I don't know how you did it. But you go to Tampa and you are one of those guys. You're one of those guys who came in for the big stakes day. Do you remember the first time you were asked to do that, where you left where your normal circuit was to be a jock for a big day? And what's the reception like in the jocks room? You can be honest on this show. Is there a collegiality? Is there an understanding? Hey, there's 5-6 graded stakes today, so of course a guy like Tyler and Irad and Jose and Paco are all in town. Or is there any resentment amongst jockeys that way?
No, to be honest, I mean, for the most part, everybody's real friendly. Most of these guys, we ride against them throughout the year, whether shipping in or staying at a meet. Everybody's pretty friendly. There's a great camaraderie amongst riders in general. And I mean, we really are a family. Don't get me wrong. There's always heated moments, a lot of emotions out on the track, and it's, you know, everybody's trying their best, but as a whole, I mean, we're a family.
How good is DeBester product? You rode him last Saturday. He's obviously got a serious shot at a starting spot in the Kentucky Derby gate. How good of a horse is he?
I like this horse. He's improving every time I've sat on him now. He's getting more confident in himself and in his ability. I think more distance will definitely benefit him. So he's in the right direction.
I want to close with this, Tyler, because you mentioned Calder and growing up and different things. And we do see in our sport tracks closing and different things. And there's a lot of conversation about revitalization or bringing new people to the sport. And if you will allow me, I would like to indulge real quick. You did something for my family, and I think you have no idea. So I don't know if you remember these days, but when the jocks room was in the usual spot at Churchill Downs, and the paddock was where it was and all that, you had to walk through family fun day on Sundays, petting zoo, face paint, that kind of stuff. And my kids recognize you because they have me as a dad and they go to the track and they know who Tyler Gaffalione is. And they didn't even say your name, but you stopped and you gave high fives. And I think you gave a fist bump to one of my kids. And my oldest, who's autistic, looked at me and he goes, "Dad, is this Tyler?" And I went, "Yeah, that's Tyler." And he goes, "Oh, this is so cool." And we didn't ask you to stop. We didn't do any of that stuff. You just stopped. So I wanted to brag on you for a second because I appreciate that moment. And there's lots of different ways to fix things, Tyler, but the only way I know I can do it is just introduce my own kids to the game and encourage, you know, say my neighbors to bring their kids to the track and hang out and, you know, meet the horses, meet the jocks, do that kind of stuff. Do you think those kinds of moments are important going forward? And do you have a thing that you think Tyler Gaffalione can offer in that sort of way?
You know, I think you touched on it in the right sense. It's just bringing awareness to the race and showing the people the true athletes of it. You know, they see us, but the horses are what it's all about. Without them, we don't have a sport. We don't get to enjoy the lives that we have. And I mean, what else are we going to do? But honestly, I think you just bring somebody to the track. They're around a horse for 5-10 minutes, and I haven't met someone that hasn't fallen in love yet. Yeah, there's just something magical about them being in their presence. It's a feeling like no other. And then you get to watch them compete. And I mean, it's just something about a horse giving his all like that. It's incredible.
Has Tyler Gaffalione allowed himself to dream of that moment of standing or sitting on the back of DeBester product in the Kentucky Derby winner circle?
Ah, man. Tried not to, but obviously that's our goal. So you have to dream a little bit, but just try not to get carried away. You have to be realistic and look at things as they are and approach it in the right sense.
All right. Well, he is Tyler Gaffalione. You can find him at Tyler_Gaff on Twitter. He'll be at Gulfstream for a little while longer and then up to Keeneland eventually. Go ahead and ruin it. Do you have a favorite place to ride?
It's Keeneland, to be honest.
Okay, there you go. All right, there you go. Hey, back to the really Commonwealth. All right, I like
Keeneland's
that.
Keeneland's the reason I came to Kentucky. It's been the one track I grew up. Obviously, Florida was my place, but Keeneland meet was what it was all about. The spring meet was so exciting. I love the look of it, the people, the way they dress. It seems so fun. And 2018, that was the first place we went to, and I fell in love and never left.
Yeah, well, there you go. All of the things about Keeneland. You say it's funny to hear the jockey say the same things as the people sitting in the stands. So there you go. He is Tyler Gaffelli-Hood. We appreciate him joining us here on the Kentucky Racing Spotlight. Tyler, thanks so much, man. Be well.
No, thank you so much. Take care.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Welcome back to the Kentucky Racing Spotlight on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Louis Rabeau.
All right, welcome back in. Kentucky Racing Spotlight with Louis Rabeau. I want to thank Tyler Gaffelli-Hood for joining us here on the show, making a huge contribution to the show. A longer interview, was really gracious with his time. We actually booked him the day of the interview, so really appreciate him jumping on with us here on the Kentucky Racing Spotlight, presented by the Kentucky HBPA, KYHBPA. .org. I'm Louis Rabeau at Radio Louis on Twitter. You can find our station at ESPN 680. As well, the Queen is up at Turfway Park tomorrow, and it is a synthetic race. It's a 6-furlong sprint, and it's an interesting one. It's part of a sequence that's going to be really interesting to try to figure out, because before it, you know, they have the great takeout rates on pick fours at Turfway Park. I love to play them. Maiden special before that, you get a sense of the class and the, you know, the expectations for the horses in that race. You get the Queen and it's a stakes race, and you can understand why certain horses are in that race. And then you get a 15K claimer and a nickel claimer to close the card. And so you got to adjust your thinking, right? It's one of the best things about horse racing, right? Is that in the same day, on the same card, we can have horses running at very different levels. And I could definitely see this one setting up to be a really interesting sort of sequence. In the maiden, I'm going to lean, and that's race 5. I'm going to lean on the 5 and the 10. If the 13 draws in, I'll use them. In the Queen, I'm going to lean on the 7. So I'm going to go a little off the board. The favorite is the 6, BG Warrior, one last time out. Huge buyer number. And this horse seems to be in every other race, huge buyer number. Prior to that, though, Joe Ramos did have the mounts. And the horse ran just fine. But she does jump up and win under Albin Jimenez last time. He'll keep them out here. But I do like the 7 Victorious here. Seems to be on the improve as a 4-year-old filly. Only ran once as a 3-year-old up the track at Churchill Downs in November. Right around Thanksgiving. Comes back at Turfway in January. Gets a little bit of time off, you know, 5-6 weeks. Wins against maidens, going 6 furlongs. Comes back at 6.5. And he gets real tight at the end. Good news here, we don't have that extra half furlong for this race. It's only 6 furlongs. So I'll use the 7 on top here. I do think BG Warrior's got a legitimate shot. 2-for-9 lifetime on the synthetic. 0-for-10, though, at the distance, which is interesting. She won that Wishing Well at 6.5. And frankly, had the race been at 6, she would have won it by 9 lengths. So if she repeats that form, she'll be good to go. One note of that, Hugo Andrade, the trainer, is 2 for his last 27 off of this kind of layoff, 5-6 weeks. That's a little bit of a red flag for me. It's why I have Victorious on top. And then a nickname I had in college, Honey Pants. It's a joke, of course. Written by Luan Machado. Comes in off of the Las Ingas in Santa Anita on the downhill turf course. Won a grade 3 last out under Frankie Dettori. Gets Luan Machado here. Leaves the Phil D'Amato barn and travels to Turfway. And the reason I bring up this horse is because, number one, I think he's got a chance. Excuse me. 6-year-old mare. Daughter of Cairo Prince. With her, I looked at him like, gosh, why would you? You're winning stakes races. You're winning grade 3s at Santa Anita. Yeah, for $100,000. And it's Los Angeles. And the prices. And Turfway's running this race for $125. It's a remarkable shift, folks. It's a remarkable shift to watch these things move this way. I'll also include the 12 here in my plays. I'll play the 7, 6, and 12 as part of my longer sequence. In race 7, I'm looking at the 3 on top, and in the final race, I'll have the 11 on top as well as part of my tickets there at Turfway Park tomorrow night. Well, we got to wrap it up. It's time for college basketball, and that means I got to get out of the way here on ESPN 680 1057. My name is Louis Rabeau. This has been the Kentucky Racing Spotlight, presented by the Kentucky HBPA. As I always say, thank you for making us part of your horse racing weekend, and good luck with all your gambling this weekend.